welcome to the adventurous world of your own imagination. This is Tom Bosley asking you to let us enter your minds with voices and sounds while you sit back and conjure up the pictures, all the faces and places, and all the action of a remarkable chapter in America's Civil War of more than 100 years ago. Our adventure story is The Red Badge of Courage by Stephen Crane, adapted especially for the General Mills Adventure Theater by Fletcher Markle. It stars Christopher Tabori. I'll be back shortly with Act One. The Red Badge of Courage is a book about a young man named Henry Fleming who fought in the Civil War of 1861 to 1865. It's a book about the men of the North and the men of the South who faced each other in deadly conflict. Stephen Crane, who wrote the book, tells the powerful story in words that will light up your imagination. And I would like to bring you our story in his own words. It is dawn. The cold passes reluctantly from the earth, and the retiring fogs reveal an army stretched out on the hills, resting. A river lies at the army's feet, and one can see across it the red eyes of hostile campfires set in the low brows of distant hills. As the morning landscape changes from brown to green, the army awakens and begins to tremble with eagerness at the noise and rumors.
We're going to move tomorrow, boys. We're going to move. We're going way up the river, cut across, and come round in behind them.
Oh. Hey, who says?
Yeah, who says, Jim?
Crump says. He heard it from a cavalryman.
And where'd the cavalryman hear it?
His brother told him.
And where'd he get it?
From one of the orderlies, division headquarters.
It's a lie. That's all it is, a thundering lie.
I don't believe this whole army's ever gonna move. Hey, what's the shouting for? What's up, Jim?
The army's gonna move, Henry.
We're going to move?
Ah, pay no heed to him, Henry. Jim Conklin don't know what he's talking about.
Well, how do you know we're gonna move, Jim?
I heard a while ago, Henry.
It's all just rumor talk, boy. Don't believe him.
Well, you can believe me or not. Just as you like. I don't care a hang.
Prove it, Conklin.
Yeah, sure. Where's your proof?
I don't need to prove nothing. I'm just telling you. We're going to move tomorrow. Going up the river, cut across, and come round in behind them.
Thunder. There's going to be a battle at last.
Private Henry Fleming listened with eager ears to the words of his tall friend, Jim Conklin, and to the mixed comments of his comrades. Then, after a long minute, he turned slowly and went to his hut. He stretched out on his bunk to be alone with some new thoughts.
We're going to fight. Tomorrow there'll be a battle, and I'll be in it. It ain't a dream anymore. It'll be a real battle, right enough.
It all began some months ago. One night as he lay in bed, the winds had carried to him the clangoring of a church bell as someone pulled the rope frantically to tell the twisted news of a great battle.
Ma, I'm going to enlist.
Oh, Henry, don't you be a fool. Back to sleep now.
I am, Ma.
You're not, and that's an end to it.
I am, Ma.
Oh, you're of more good here, Henry, on the farm here where you belong. Now, if your father was alive, he'd tell you that. He would, Henry, I know.
Nevertheless, the next morning, Henry Fleming had gone to the town near his mother's farm and had enlisted in a company that was forming there. A few days later, when he had stood in the doorway with his dark blue soldier's clothes hanging stiffly on him, he had seen two tears on his mother's face.
Take good care of yourself in this here fighting business.
Yes, sir.
And don't go thinking you can lick the whole rebel army at the start, because you can't.
No.
Now, you're just one little fella amongst a whole lot of others, and you got to keep quiet and do what they tell you. Now, I packed you 8 pairs of socks, Henry, and whenever they got holes in them, I want you to send them right away back to me so that I can darn them.
Yes, sir.
I don't want you to ever do anything, Henry, that you'd be ashamed to let me know about. If so be a time comes when you have to fight, then fight. But don't go doing anything foolish just to be brave. I hope it's over soon, and you'll come home soon. Take real care now.
Then there had come months of monotonous life in a camp.
Drilled and drilled and reviewed.
Henry Fleming had grown to regard himself as part of a vast blue demonstration. But now, since his regiment had come to the field, the army had done little but sit still and try to keep warm.
Jim, going to be a battle for sure?
You just wait till tomorrow. You'll see one of the biggest battles ever was. Now listen, didn't the cavalry all start this morning?
Yes, they did.
The cavalry started this morning. They're going to Richmond or someplace while we fight the whole Confederate army.
How do you think the regiment will do, Jim? I mean, you think any of our boys will run away from the fight?
Oh, maybe a few of them run. But there's that kind in every regiment, especially when their first goes under fire. But I think they'll fight after they once get shooting.
Do you think that you might run yourself, Jim?
Hey, Jim, hey?
Well, I thought it might get too hot for Jim Conklin in some of them scrimmages. And if a whole lot of boys started and run, why, I suppose I'd start and run. But if everybody was standing and fighting, well, I'd stand and fight. I'd bet on that.
Well, it's good to hear that, Jim.
At nightfall, the columns broke into groups and the fragments went into the fields to camp. Lying there, listening to the snoring of his friend Jim Conklin, he was sharply aware of the beating of his heart.
I'm afraid. No. Yes. I'm afraid.
The next morning, the regiment is routed out with early energy and hustled along a narrow road that leads deep into the forest. Now they are running through the damp fog of the morning. This is sudden and confusing and frightening and thrilling.
Say, what's all this about?
What the thunder are we skedaddling this way for?
I told you, didn't I? I told you. We're going into battle.
What are they in such a hurry for?
Henry, where are you?
Here. I'm with you, Jim. Listen! Musket!
Musket's right enough.
It's musket!
Henry Fleming was bewildered. As he ran with his comrades, he strenuously tried to think, but all he knew was that if he fell down, those coming behind him would run right over him. He was in a moving box. It seemed to him now that he had never wished to come to the war.
Look at them all coming up the bank. How many regiments we got?
What difference will it make?
Look at them. We're forming a brigade. We're forming a battle line.
Well, how do we get to do that, do you suppose?
The landscape lay before Henry Fleming like a threat. He felt cold. The swift thought came to him that the generals did not know what they were doing. It was all a trap. They were all going to be sacrificed. Henry Fleming glared about him, expecting to see the stealthy approach of his own death.
Come on, boy! Get up into the ranks there! No skulking will do here!
Yes, sir, Lieutenant. Yes, sir. You suppose they'll move us, Jim?
I don't know, Henry. You want a bit of cracker and pork?
No, thanks.
I tell you, if anybody with any sense was running this army...
No, shut your mouth, Wilson. You ain't had that blue coat and pants on for 6 months. Yet you talk.
Well, I want to do some fighting. I didn't come here to walk. I could have walked back home, round around the barn, if I just wanted to walk.
Well, maybe you should have.
Hey, what's going on?
The skirmishers are running. Look at
them. Oh, they are, too. You can see the rifle flashes now.
What are we going to do?
I don't know at all.
Henry, take these.
What?
It's letters and papers. Take the whole package.
What for?
It's my first and last battle, boy. I know it. I'm a gone squirrel this first time. And I want you to take these here things to my folks.
Oh, now, Wilson, now, look, I don't...
Please, just take them.
Here they come!
Here they come!
Fleming and his comrades are involved in an actual battle. As you can imagine, despite the noise and smoke of his own rifle, despite the boom and shriek of the artillery, young Henry is still asking himself questions. Will I stand and fight, or will I run? Will I be wounded? And worst of all, will I be killed? We'll find out what happens when I return shortly with Act Two. The first battle appears to be over now. The enemy is attacked and retreated. But neither Henry Fleming nor any of his comrades have had time to think about what's happened to them. The uproar of the fighting has moved elsewhere. There's only the suffocating smoke and heat of the battle line around them.
Oh, we held them back. Oh, we held them all back.
Third, if we haven't. I don't know how, though. I just don't know how.
Hey, how are you, Henry? You all right, boy?
I'm all right. Where's Jim?
Who?
Jim Conklin.
Oh, he'll be around telling us about the battle he predicted so early.
What's that squad there?
Where?
Over there, moving back to the rear.
That ain't a squad, you dumb fool. That's wounded.
Wounded? Hey, I didn't have any time to notice if any of our...
Some did. Some did, all right.
Somebody send us support.
We ain't never gonna stand a second of that.
I didn't come here to fight the whole rebel army.
No.
All right, get yourself ready, boys.
Please, God.
They're coming in.
No.
Quick now.
No.
Henry Fleming's neck was quivering with nervous weakness, and the muscles of his arms felt numb and bloodless. His hands, too, holding his hot rifle, seemed large and awkward, and there was a great uncertainty about his knee joints. A man near him, who up to this time had been working feverishly at his rifle, suddenly stopped and ran, screaming. That was a revelation. Henry Fleming threw down his rifle and ran. There was no shame in his face. The flap of his cartridge box bobbled wildly, and his canteen swung out behind. He ran like a blind man. Henry Fleming knew that he could not run much further. Deep in the woods, he staggered and stumbled. After a time, the sound of musketry and cannon grew faint. The rumble of death It was far away. The sun blazed among the trees. This landscape gave him life and assurance. It was the religion of peace. He thought of home, of his mother.
I don't want you to ever do anything, Henry, that you would be ashamed to let me know about.
Oh, no, no, Mother. No.
Henry Fleming shambled along with bowed head, his brain a tumult of agony and despair. At length, he reached a place where the high, arching boughs of the trees made a kind of room in the forest. Near the threshold, he stopped, stunned, struck cold with horror. He was being looked at by a dead man who was seated with his back against a tree. The eyes staring had changed to a dull glaze. The dead man and the living exchanged a look. And at last he broke the bonds that fastened him to the spot and fled, pursued by a memory of the black ants swarming greedily on the dead man's face. Finally, Henry Fleming came to a road along which a blood-stained crowd was streaming to the rear. He joined this mournful procession of the wounded and walked along with it. The torn bodies expressed the awful machinery of war in which they had been entangled. But somehow, he was envious of them. He now wished that he, too, had a wound, a red badge of courage.
Well, it's a pretty good fight, wasn't it?
What?
Pretty good fight today. Darn me if I ever see fellas fight so. I knowed the boys would do it when they got the square at it.
Who you with?
148th Maine. You?
But the 304th New York.
Well, you was there. Yeah, we was all together there when they come at us the second time. Oh, didn't we show them, huh?
Yes, sure, surely did.
Where did they hit you, boy?
What?
I said, where did they hit you?
Hit? Well, I got them. Jim Conklin.
Hello, Henry.
Oh, Jim, you hurt?
Where you been, Henry? I thought maybe you got killed. There's been thunder to pay today. I was worrying about it a good deal.
Here, Jim, let me help you.
You know, I was out there. And Lord, what a circus, huh? And then, but Jiminy, I got shot.
Jim, is there anything I can do?
I'll tell you what I'm afraid of, Henry. I'm afraid I'll fall down and then, you know, one of them dumb artillery wagons, they'll like as not run over me.
No, I'll take care of you, Jim. I swear I will.
Will you, Henry?
Yes, I'll take care of you, Jim.
I was always a good friend to you, wasn't I, Henry? I've always been a pretty good fellow, ain't I?
Oh, sure enough, Jim. Now, here, you hang on to me now. Come on, give me your arm.
No, leave me be.
No, but Jim.
Leave me be.
You'd better take him in the fields, boy. There's a battery coming down the road. He'll get run over. He's a goner anyhow in about 5 minutes. I mean, you can see that.
Leave me be.
You better take him out of the road.
Jim, can you come with me now? Come on, into the fields.
No. Don't touch me. Leave me be.
But where are you going, Jim? But where are you heading? Now tell me, won't you, Jim?
Leave me be, can't you? Leave me be for a minute.
Let him go by himself, boy.
Henry Fleming and the tattered soldier stood motionless, watching Jim Conklin slowly stumble to a stop. The tall, spare figure was slumped, his bloody hands quietly at his side, as if he were waiting patiently for something he had come to meet.
Jim.
Leave me be. Don't touch me.
Let him alone, boy.
Jim Conklin stiffened and straightened. Then the tall figure began to swing forward, slow and straight in the manner of a falling tree. A swift, muscular contortion made the left shoulder strike the ground first.
Oh, no!
As the flap of the blue jacket fell away from the body, they could see that the side looked as if it had been chewed by wolves.
Jim. Jim.
Henry Fleming turned with sudden livid rage toward the distant battlefield. He shook his fist.
This is hell!
The red sun was pasted in the sky like a wafer.
I wonder where he got his strength from. He was a regular gym dandy for nerve, wasn't he, huh? Regular gym dandy.
Never seen a man die like that before.
Ah, looky here, boy. He's up and gone, ain't he? We might as well begin to look out for old number one. Friend's all right here. Nobody won't bother him. And I must say, I ain't enjoying any great health myself right now.
Good Lord, you ain't gonna... Not you, too.
No, all I want is some pea soup and a good bed. What you gonna do now?
I'll try to find my regiment, I guess.
You do that, then. You do that, boy. I'm gonna set myself down over there, the edge of the road, and rest a bit.
Will you be all right?
Oh, well, I'll just be fine. Yeah. Look pretty peaked yourself, you know. Bet you've got the worse a wound than you think. You better take care of your hurts.
No. I'll be all right.
Well, you go along, then. Yeah, you go along.
I'll try to find my regiment. Goodbye now.
Take care now.
Henry Fleming fought against a cold feeling of shame and moved on. He became aware that the furnace roar of the battle was growing louder. As he rounded a hillock, he saw that the roadway was now a crying mass of wagons, teams, and men. Fear was sweeping it along.
Seems like they're retreating. They all are.
The fight was lost. The Union Army, helpless in the matted thickets and blinded by the smoke and dust, was going to be swallowed. Henry Fleming stared in agony and amazement.
Why? Why?
There ain't no reason, kid. The line's broke. No reason to any of it.
But tell me what's happened.
Let go of my arm. I'm keeping this rifle no matter what.
But you just tell me what's been happening here. No, wait.
Let go of me. You want a crack on the head?
Where'd the line break? Tell me.
You let go.
No.
Well, then, here.
Oh.
Henry Fleming saw the frightened man's rifle swing at him. And then there was a flash of blinding pain in his head. He lost consciousness and sank to the ground. Well, it seems that Henry Fleming isn't the only victim of cowardice on the battlefield, including that retreating soldier who just gave him his first wound. But when a wound is received, not from the enemy, but from one of your own comrades, it can hardly be considered a red badge of courage, can it? And young Henry Fleming has no one to blame but himself for his present dilemma. I'll be back shortly with our final act. This night, after the battle, Henry Fleming regains consciousness and realizes he is not alone in searching for the campsite of his regiment. Other comrades are equally lost, stumbling around in the dark, frantically questioning guards and patrols. Then, as midnight approaches, as the pain in his head makes walking unbearable, Henry Fleming staggers toward still another campfire.
Who goes?
Fleming. 304th in New York.
Henry, is that you?
Wilson. Well, yes, it's me.
Well, by ginger, I'm glad to see you, Henry. I'd give you up for a goner. I thought you was dead, sure enough.
Oh, no. I've been all over. Well, I've been way over on the right. Terrible fighting over there.
Fighting and retreating, I heard.
Yeah. I got separated from the regiment. I had an awful time. Over on the right. I got shot in the head.
You got shot? Why didn't you say so first off? Hold on a minute. I'll go call the corporal.
Who are you talking to, Wilson? Why, hello, Henry. You here?
Hello, Stanley.
I thought you was dead hours ago. Oh, great Jerusalem. They keep turning up every 10 minutes or so. We thought we lost 42 men by straight count, but if they keep on coming this way, well, we'll get the whole company back by morning.
Hey, where was you? I over on the right. I got separated.
Yeah, and he got shot in the head, and we got to see to him right away.
Oh, it hurts like thunder, I'll wager.
Yeah, it hurts. It's a good deal.
Come on, Henry, I'll take care of you.
Put him to sleep in my blanket, Stanley, and hold on a minute. Here's my canteen full of coffee. Now look at his head by the fire and see how bad it is. When I get relieved in a couple of minutes, I'll be over to see him.
Yeah, I'll hang on to you, Henry. It's this way.
Well, now, there we are, Henry. I'll just get the bandage on it. You've been grazed by a bullet, I guess.
Yeah.
Raised a queer lump. Just as if some fella had lammed you on the head with a club.
Yeah?
But, seems it stopped a bleeding some time back.
Oh, it's sure good to be back with the regiment again.
Now, come on now. Just lie yourself down. Get some sleep.
Private Henry Fleming lay back in deep exhaustion, hearing echoes of voices.
If so be a time comes when you have to fight, then fight.
He got shot in the head, and we got to see to him right away.
Shame and remorse for his cowardice that day rose inside of him like a fever. But fatigue was the victor, and in a few minutes, Henry Fleming was asleep.
Well, Henry, my boy, how do you feel this morning?
Pretty bad. My head feels like a melon.
I hope you'd feel better by this morning.
Oh, I feel better, all right. And thanks for everything you did last night, Wilson.
One nothing. Here. Brought you some coffee.
Thanks. There's a battle, huh?
Yeah, way over the hill there. They'll probably send us back soon. All officers say we got the Rebs in a pretty tight box. I thought we handled them mighty rough yesterday.
Not where I was. Oh, I forgot to say. Jim Conklin's dead.
Is he? Jim Conklin?
Yeah. Shot in the side.
You don't see. Old Jim, poor cuss. Makes me feel like a pretty big fool for saying the things I said to him.
I was a pretty big fool myself.
For getting hit.
Yeah.
Henry.
Yeah, what?
Well, I guess you might as well give me back the packet, them letters and things they give you to keep for me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Here you are.
Thanks.
Henry Fleming's regiment was marched to relieve a command that had lain long in damp trenches. The men took positions behind a curving line of rifle pits turned up like a large furrow along a line of trees.
Hey, be Jiminy, we're being general by a lot of lunkheads.
Yeah, I don't see any sense in fighting and fighting and fighting and always losing through some lunkhead of a general.
Maybe you think you fought the whole battle yourself yesterday, huh, Fleming?
No. I didn't say that. I didn't fight the whole battle yesterday.
Oh.
All right, you men, shut up. No need wasting your breath in long-winded arguments about this and that and the other. All you got to do is fight. And since there's a battery moving in behind us, you'll get plenty of that any minute now.
Yes, sir.
There's too much chin music and too little fighting in this war anyhow. All right, ready now? Return fire! Fire!
Henry Fleming Wolverine took up a first position behind a small tree with a direct determination to hold it against the world. He paid no attention to the big guns of the battery behind him and concentrated on his own shooting. His rifle barrel grew so hot that ordinarily he could not have held it in his hands. But now he kept on stuffing cartridges into it and pounding them with his clanking, bending ramrod. He became so occupied that he was not aware of a lung.
Hey, Fleming, you infernal fool! Don't you know enough to quit when there ain't anything to shoot at?
The enemy had fallen back.
If I had 10,000 wildcats like Fleming, I could tear the stomach out of this war in less than a week.
You all right, Henry? You feel all right?
I feel fine.
There ain't nothing the matter with you, Henry, is there? Firing away like that.
No. Just making up a little time.
By thunder, I'll bet this army will never see another regiment like us.
We're going to charge, boys. The 304th's going to charge.
I bet you're lying to us, Wilson.
No, he ain't. Not by blame sight. We both heard him talking.
Heard who talking?
The general himself and one of our officers.
Over at the edge of the woods, while he was still in the canteens.
We couldn't hear what our man was saying, but the general hollered and he'd get word back in a matter of minutes, and then he rode off.
Charging the rebs. Oh, great Jerusalem. We'll get swallowed.
A sudden rift in the smoke cloud saw a gray mass of troops, interwoven and magnified until they appeared to be thousands. A fierce, hued flag flashed before his sight. He centered the eyes of his soul on that enemy flag. Its possession would be high pride. He would seize it by himself.
It's mine! It's mine! I'll get it!
Plunged across the field like a mad horse, headed straight for the Confederate flag. He pulled at it, wrenching it free from the wounded rebel soldier, swung up its red brilliancy with a cry of exultation.
I got it! It's got it!
Even as its bearer, gasping, lurched over and turned his dead face to the ground. There was much blood upon the grass.
I got it, boy! I got it! Look at here!
They knew that no more fighting threatened them. The dusty blue lines of their friends were seen a short distance away, disarming prisoners. In the distance, there were many noises. But in all this part of the field, there was a welcome stillness.
Henry! Oh, Wilson! You just ought to heard.
Heard what?
What's all the fuss, Stanley?
Well, the colonel met our lieutenant right by us, right by me and Brock. And it was the damnedest thing I'd ever heard. By the way, lieutenant, the colonel says, who was that lad who got their flag, he says.
There, Henry, what do you think of that?
I don't believe it, that's what. And the lieutenant, he speaks up right away. That was Henry Fleming, sir, and he's a Jim Hickey, sir.
Oh, go to blazes, Stanley.
And you know what the colonel says to that?
My sakes, he says. He deserves to be Major General, he says.
Long story.
No, they never said all that.
They did.
And that's God's truth, and shut up and go to blazes.
The regiment marched until it had joined its fellows. For a time, Henry Fleming, marching, was obliged to reflect in a puzzled and uncertain way. He had been where there was red of blood and black of passion, and he had escaped. His first thoughts were given to rejoicing at this fact.
The battle's over.
It's all over now.
He recalled with a thrill of joy the respect of his comrades for his conduct when Stanley's news had proven to be true. But the ghost of his flight from the first engagement appeared to him in a vision of guilt and reproach.
How do you feel about it all, Henry?
Wilson. I don't know.
Yeah, if a man should come up and ask me, I'd say we're going down here a ways, swing around, and come in behind him.
Oh, quit it now with you coming in behind him. I've seen all of that I want to. Now, don't tell me about coming in behind.
Well, why shouldn't we come in behind him again, huh? Didn't Jim Conklin tell us we'd come around in behind him this time? Huh? Didn't he?
Shut your mouth. It's over now. That's that.
The shame of his previous cowardice was tramped underfoot. Henry Fleming felt a quiet manhood. He knew that he would never again flinch before his leaders, wherever they should point. He had been to touch the great death and found that, after all, it was but the great death. He had been a boy. Now he was a man. It rained. The procession of weary Union soldiers became a bedraggled train, despondent and muttering, marching with churning effort and liquid brown mud under a wretched sky. Yet Henry Fleming smiled, for he saw that the world was a world for him. He'd rid himself of the red sickness of battle. He'd been an animal blistered and sweating in the heat and pain of war. He turned now with a lover's thirst to images of tranquil skies, fresh meadows, cool brooks, an existence of continuing peace.
I hope it's over soon, and you'll come home soon. Take real care now.
Over the river, a warm yellow splash of sun came through the hosts of leaden rain clouds. And so, in two terrible days, Henry Fleming has learned that courage is not just a matter of being brave. It's also a matter of not being selfish. And that's not only true about courage back in the time of our Civil War. It's equally true right now, in the time of our civil peace. I'll be back shortly. The story you've just heard was all about a young man's experience in a war of long ago. And while you were listening to it, it may have come to your mind, as it did to mine, how fortunate we all are today to be sharing the experience of peace. Let's hope we can keep that peace.
Our cast included Christopher Tabori, Bryna Rayburn, Earl Hammond, Court Benson, and Jackson Beck. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.